Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news! Ad-free listening on Amazon Music is included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime podcasts. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or visit amazon.co.uk/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.co.uk/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Before we get today's show started, I got to remind you that Carnival of Combat is just around the corner. Saturday, November 4th, myself versus Tim Butterly, 3 rounds of action, a boxing match for the ages, plus a lot of other incredible action as well, including Crack Amico versus Dylan and the co-main event, Alex Stein versus Mike Harrington. Bunch of other fights, fan fights as well. Go to carnivalofcombat.com to grab tickets, to watch the pay-per-view, or to sign up for the fights yourself. Carnival of Combat, happening Saturday, November 4th in St. Petersburg, Florida. Go to carnivalofcombat.com right now for tickets.
Dude, in a long hallway, they had to all go out one, and it just, and people started being trampled to death, and it was just bodies stuffed in the doorway, and then everyone breathed in.
I can't remember what site it was. It's the meanest and funniest meme I've ever seen. It said, "Great White loses all 85 of their fans."
Yeah, it's pretty wild, dude. That story is terrifying. That's like just something that could happen.
You see, they were setting off huge pyro in a tiny room.
Yeah, tiny room, and they nobody got permission to do this. This was just dumb. This would be like if I ran a comedy club in Warwick, Rhode Island, in the early 2000s. Like I would have been like, yeah, dude, whatever. They put in the like foam like soundproofing, and the foam soundproofing caught fire. That's what happened. They were shooting just sparks that were supposed to be like not like they go out and really catch things on fire, and then on the first song. Literally, the ceiling just lit on fire, and then people were just like, "Oh!" And then the music video was them like playing in front of a bunch of flames.
They thought so it was a fact.
People were like, "Whoa!" They're like, "Holy
shit. Great White is back!"
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy Louis J. Gomez.
Where's Randall Spank, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International Superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double teaming this chick with her husband. Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you f***ing ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
Here we are. Welcome to the Real Ass Podcast. Live from Amsterdam, the Netherlands. Deutschland. Is that Deutschland? What is Deutschland?
Deutschland's Germany.
Deutschland's a place, huh?
Yeah, it's Germany.
I thought that was just some people. You know the Netherlands got a bunch of different fucking names?
Yeah, like you?
Yeah, dude. That's why I like the Netherlands so much.
Deutschland?
F*** you, Zach. Zach Olesnake. We need the soundboard always. I got to remember that's a big part of the show.
Matt Olesnake. Zach Olesnake.
You can do our sound effects
Perfect.
For the day.
That's what I'm here for today. Well.
Robbie the Fire Bernstein's here with us. Dave Smith, too good for the show. It's all good. Dave's going out, and he's actually celebrating his 5-year anniversary with his wife. So he's going out and looking for, you know, a gift and all that other
Trinkets.
Stuff. Yeah, good guy. Good guy, Dave Smith. But we said, we got to get the Real Ass Podcast in. We did not get one in earlier in the week, and that was because, well, we should have gotten him in earlier in the week. But we got turned around. When you're traveling this much, we're doing a tour right now. We went from London, England, to Belfast, to Glasgow, and now we're here in Amsterdam. And essentially, every day or two, we're just up and at them again, and we don't really have too much time to settle in, so we didn't do it. And then, on our way here, Robbie lost his f***ing bag, which had all the podcast equipment.
No. The airport lost Robbie's bag. Robbie didn't lose his bag.
I blame Robbie.
I'm okay with blaming me. I lose enough bags that at this point, it's probably my fault.
It's one of the things that people realize about the show, what this show is all about. It's about self-improvement, and you can't control the airport. You can't control what they're going to do to your bags. You can't control how anyone else is going to act. But you know what you can control?
Where you pack the podcast gear?
Your own attitude, yes. So, Robbie, you lost that bag. You have to take personal responsibility. That's all I'm saying.
What kind of bag improvements do you think I can make? That maybe my bag is like disguising itself.
Did they tell you why they lost your bag? What happened? What the problem was?
No.
Just it's gone. And then we had a cheap airline. We took EasyJet, which is the Spirit Airlines of Europe. And EasyJet, they don't scan your bags in. They just put them on a belt. They go, we hope they get there.
Just name that ironically because it's very difficult. No, they should call it charges for water.
Doggy, they were actually really friendly. All of the people that worked at the airports in Europe were so much friendlier than any people that I've dealt with at an American airport.
I wonder what the difference is.
I mean, look, I'll tell you right now.
Is something noticeably different as you travel around Europe.
They love
They're smiley. They have energy.
They're
very nice to you.
They're extremely. They seem to love their
jobs. Eye contact.
I think that they're white, guys. I think we're trying to get the white people, and we need to hire more whites. Well, how do we hire more white people at the airports in the United States?
I got a hot take here. I called customer service for Delta from Europe, was talking to a black guy, and he was the most customer service friendly person I've ever interacted with in my entire life.
He's like, yo, you so cool, Robbie. You might.
And he gave me the upgrades. He got it done. So there's something about Europe culture and that they seem to actually care about the customer service stuff. Yeah.
And you know me, I am a sucker for good customer service. Because here's the thing, I will say that when I'm wronged in a slight way, I get a little bit shitty. And by the way, I'm now well over a month without incident. Well over a month.
Do you have a thing in your house?
No,
like
I just
have
the date. The 22nd of September was my last incident.
You got to get one of those big like trucker things that they have in warehouses since the last accident.
Yeah. No, I'm not. No incidents for me. It's been over a month now. I'm very, very excited about this. But I'm incident prone. Like if that was my bag that the airline had lost, it just didn't inconvenience me enough for me to be that mad. You know what I'm saying? Like I was getting there. I was kind of annoyed, but I wasn't even annoyed with them. Once again, I was annoyed with you. I was like, God damn it, Robbie. Why did they lose your bag? You idiot. Now I got to stand around. I mean, Zach at one point, Zach was sat behind. Zach's a fucking sweetheart of a boy, right? And here's what he did. As we're getting off the flight, Zach left his bag behind him.
Yeah, there wasn't room above
his head. So he leaves it like three rows back, four rows back, whatever it is. I don't even know how fucking far back it was. Okay? If I do that, I get up and I just fucking push through everybody and I say, I'm getting my bag. And I yell and I'm like, got to get my bag coming through. Zach's not doing that. He's a sweetheart. Even if he could, he's not going to do that, right? He's just like, I'm going to wait.
I can't inconvenience people like that.
I'm going to wait my turn. So Zach, like an asshole, sits there. We get to customs, and we are like, or not customs, passport control. We're like in the first, I mean, we're like the first people off the plane. So we're right at the front, and there's maybe, you know, 100 people ahead of us. This is about a half an hour, 40-minute wait between us and those 100 people. By the time Zach gets to us, after he gets his fucking bag and walks over to us, another 400 people are behind us at least. We're going to have to wait an hour and a half for Zach. So I literally just... I didn't get permission to do this, Zach.
No shit.
I didn't get permission.
I didn't think you applied for special airport privileges. Yeah. I understood when you were like, no, you don't have to do that and wave me over. And it was the Louis J. Gomez privilege. You said it in a way where everyone was like, oh, obviously that's fine.
Look, I made it look like I was getting permission. I went over to one guy and I was like, yeah, my buddy's back there. He's like, I was like, all right, buddy, yeah, cool. And then I went back and I just fucking said, I was like, Zach, come on, you can come. You don't have to wait, dude. You can just come with us. And then I just started unbuckling fucking things and buckling them back. Nobody said anything because these Europeans are too fucking nice. They're idiots. If that was the U.S., there'd be black people all over that airport, and we would have gotten into a fucking fist fight.
In all fairness, we didn't take any more of their time because we did check in as a group. So and it didn't inconvenience anyone.
I wasn't doing anything that crazy. I felt like we actually should have been together.
Yes. I think it all works out.
Me and Dave were standing there going, this is aggressive. We might not get into Amsterdam.
No, that's not true. I was not that aggressive. And I was very friendly. And I'm just fucking friendly.
No, but
you have to assume the clothes. It's sales technique.
You pulled it off beautifully.
Yeah.
You started opening up gates as if you worked there. Yeah, like that was official protocol.
That's what
I did. No one questioned it. And
I mean, I don't know why, but in America, I feel like I would never touch something that you're not supposed to touch. I feel like they're going to tackle me and they're going to fucking drag me into an office and you're never going to see me again. American airports have an intimidation factor. I don't know what it is, but here it's like a mall.
Yeah. These tiny European twinks. What are they going to do to you?
Get out of my face, security. That's crazy. There's a car and a boat. It just seems like that was an accident. You know? Anyway, so yeah, then they lost your bags, but it was annoying to me, and I was annoyed that I was waiting and having to wait, but it just wasn't going to make me break incident.
I think you were mad at me because you were thinking if I was more your way at all the airports checking in, they would know not to lose my bag.
They weren't losing my bag, I'll tell you that much.
Which is a big improvement socially and mentally for Lewis, who once spent an entire day telling me I wasn't a real comedian because I checked a bag.
Yeah.
I gotta say,
true. I did say that, and I stand by it. Now, here's the thing: I check it back now.
Yeah.
But it's because I am no longer a real comedian. I'm now a fighter. I have to bring my fight equipment.
That's right.
So,
I feel like the Europe Airlines kind of ruined my bringing a carry-on confidence, because that is my bag every domestic flight. Yeah. I take that on every plane overpacked. I never have a problem. I wedge it in there. Worst case scenario, you're in the back rows and they gate check it on you.
Yeah.
But they, I don't know, they kind of mess with my head that it wasn't going to fit.
I'm never in the back rows. Even if, God forbid, like sometimes, so if I book United, I'm always, because I book, so I'm like, I have a loyalty thing, so I'm always right. The first group, right?
Yeah.
But let's say I book it on fucking, you know, another airline for convenience, which I sometimes have to do, and they put me in like a three or four group, just go. They don't check the group. Nothing pops up that says the group. When you,
right.
You literally just go beep, and then that's that. And even if it did, they're not stopping the whole fucking thing every time somebody does that. Guys, just trust me on this.
The Luis J. Gomez zero courtesy or wait way.
It's not about zero
just
courtesy
it.
Or wait. No. In life, this is it, right? This is the difference in attitude, right? So here, all right, so there's people who have driven cars in New York City.
Right.
And there's people who have not driven cars in New York City. And I think that's a perfect analogy for how you have to live life. I move through life like I'm a fucking taxi in New York City. Right. And you have to just, you don't stop, you don't brake, you don't fucking consider, you go forward. You don't fucking create bottlenecks for everybody else in life. And I just move fucking forward in the most fast way possible.
Oh, and you're saying, and you're creating more efficiency for everyone else by.
I'm not looking at my number. I'm not looking at what group I'm in. I'm like, boom, I'm just going up group one, bitch. Let's go. All these other assholes are bumping into each other, staring at their phones. I'm telling you right now.
But you're like, if everyone just charged the front, it would be faster for everybody.
It's like that that nightclub fire with Great White, where they only had one single door and everybody went to the door. That's why I actually.
You would have survived that fire, though.
Yeah.
I would have been. I would have survived
practicing.
That fire, dude. Yeah. The security was like, oh, you can't use any of the other exits. These are for staff and for the band.
For Great White.
Yeah, for Great White, dude. And then they made everyone just go out the front exit, which was one doorway.
They called me the greatest white.
Dude, in a long hallway, they had to all go out one, and it just, and people started being trampled to death, and it was just bodies stuffed in the doorway, and then everyone breathed in.
I can't remember what site it was. It's the meanest and funniest meme I've ever seen. It said, Great White loses all 85 of their fans.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, dude. That story is fucking terrifying. That's like just something that could happen.
Well, also they were setting off giant pyro.
You're hold on one second. This is make sure it doesn't come out.
They
were setting off huge pyro in a tiny room.
Yeah, tiny room, and they nobody got permission to do this. This was just dumb. This would have been like if I ran a comedy club in Warwick, Rhode Island in the early 2000s. Like I would have been like, yeah, dude, whatever. They put in the like foam like soundproofing, and the foam soundproofing caught fire. That's what happened. They were shooting just sparks that were supposed to be like not like they go out and really catch things on fire. And then on the first song, literally the ceiling just lit on fire, and then people were just like, oh. And then I guess the music video was them like playing in front of a bunch of flames.
They thought it was effect.
They were like, holy shit,
Great White is back.
Hold on, dude. This has to. We gotta fix this. This can't be. You might have to hold it from the bottom. Damn, dude.
How's that?
Yeah, I hope so.
Is that it?
It's better.
Okay.
I'm going to. You know what, dude? Let me take that one because I know when it goes out and this, then I can. Yeah, I have the headphones. Sorry about that, guys.
No problem. Sorry.
Except we're in fucking Europe, dude. They don't know how to podcast here.
Incidents like that, I feel like redeem my OCD because I'm very claustrophobic. And like at smaller clubs, I'm always hanging by the doors.
Yeah, that's
so. But that kind of shit, like when things go haywire, then I feel better about.
Haywire's their best track.
Oh, really?
Now we're gonna play Haywire. No, you're 100% right, dude. That's fucking just a terrifying thing. Imagine burning alive. Oh, dude, which way? So people got trampled to death.
And they got smoke inhalation, and then they got burnt. Yeah,
and then they got burnt to death. Oh, this is my microphone now. Fuck. Do we have another microphone, Laura, by chance? Just in case. Just let's see if we do. Just so it doesn't. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, sweet. You're a fucking king, dude.
Oh, thank you, brother.
What a god. Look at this you're beautiful fucking thank Dutch you. Man. Holy shit, dude. I want to kiss his fucking mouth. I bet his dick is so pink.
We should rank the nationalities that we've dealt with since we've been here.
check. There we go. That's really stuck in there. Well, no, I was going to say in the three ways people died. So it was smoke inhalation. It trampled. Was being trampled to death and being burnt alive.
What's the best of those three?
I feel like smoke inhalation. What do you choose? I think you choose smoke inhalation. Apparently, after a few breaths,
you just go down.
Pass out and
yeah,
you die.
That
and this specific, the stuff that it was made out of was toxic. That's who everybody sued, was the fucking company that made these fucking, the soundproofing. This poor company that just was making sound, some fucking shit company. They had nothing to do with any of these decisions.
They didn't think anybody had to put a sign on it that was like, don't light this on fire. Don't cover your ceiling in this and then light it on fire.
Dude, I also just happened to watch a documentary on this, so I know everything about it right now. Everything about it.
I was wondering why you had all the info.
I have so much info on this. The guitarist, he died. He went back in for his guitar. Idiot.
Whoa.
They got the band out right away through a side door, and he was like, they didn't realize how bad it was going to be, so he was like, oh, dude, I got to get my guitar. And he went back in and died.
What an idiot.
Yeah, what a fool.
Did they bury him with a guitar?
I don't know.
He earned it.
Yeah. Earned it? Yes, dude. He was cremated. Yes, Zach. Zach O'Snake. Solid joke, doggy. All right, real quick, let me take a moment and thank Strong Cell for supporting today's show. Strong Cell is a scientific breakthrough in NADH supplementation. I've been taking it for a month now. I'm waiting on my next box, Strong Cell. Where you at, baby boys? I feel good. I feel energetic. I feel better than I've ever felt. My knees feel good. My head feels good. If you don't know what Strong Cell is, do a little bit of research on what NADH supplementation can do for you. It is about repairing and healing and making every cell in your body that much better and work that much more. This is about optimizing every living cell in your body and giving yourself stronger cells, meaning that if you have stronger cells, it means that everything else in your body follows suit. It is not an overnight fix. It takes about 30 days for your body to absorb NADH, and this is not like some sort of like energy booster or energy shot. You take a little 2-ounce shot in the morning. It's delicious. It tastes like tangerine. It's fucking orange. It's the fucking best. And then I just have been feeling good. After about 3 weeks, I started feeling a real big difference in my energy levels. Do some research. See if it can help you. It is truly game-changing because this used to be a very expensive process that you used to have to go see a doctor, and they used to have to sit you down and do it a certain way. This is a great way to do it. It is a proprietary way. All you got to do right now is go to strongcell.com, use the promo code RAP20 when you check out, and you're going to save 20% off your entire order today. Strongcell.com, RAP20 for that 20% off. All right, where were we? Let's go over the trip a little bit. Obviously, we're working backwards a little bit because we are in the Netherlands here. Let's start in the Netherlands. What are we thinking about it so far? This is your first time here?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
First time, boys.
I like the pace of it.
You like the pace.
This is a good, nice. Everybody's very chill.
Everyone's trying to have a good time.
Yeah.
This is a party fucking.
We're a little touchy feely for me.
I see a lot
of hugs, a lot of arms around me.
Yeah.
And I get a little.
Well, you look like they're Santa Claus.
Yes.
They think that you're actually delivering gifts.
Well, I was wearing blackface last night. I was wearing blackface and eating children. I don't know if you guys know their traditions.
Santa Claus is a scary character here. In the Netherlands, he's a bad guy.
It's me just dangling a child over my gaping maw.
Oh no, it's Santa Claus.
Santa Claus
has come to eat the children. Me and Dave were talking about how to do a Dutch accent. It's just you replace all of the vowels with the oo sound. And that's it. And then any S has to be a sh. So you gotta be like, would you like to go to the store?
I love gold.
Oh, this is such a nice comedy club. Oh.
I'm going to have to pay more attention. I feel like I haven't heard anyone sound like that yet.
But I don't know. It's that's just how
I'm not venturing around
they
enough.
They all sound
yeah.
like, they all, and they all, I feel like they all go home to like live in a tree. No offense. I hope this isn't offensive. He's got his earphones on. Good. I feel like they all do live in the base of trees like elves, right? I have an elfish type of energy to them.
Welcome to my redwood.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking bizarre. They're all tall. They're all kind of fucking good looking, but not really. It's weird. It's very bizarre energy in this entire town, but it is very peaceful and nice as long as you're not an obnoxious American, because it does feel, because I am an obnoxious American, and I feel like there's a lot of, like, I walk out and then eyes roll very, very hard. You know what I'm saying? But they're very nice to my face.
Yeah, I think we are the examples of obnoxious, everything that's wrong with America.
Yeah.
Between the two of us.
Two times now I've come to the Netherlands, and both times I was supposed to go to the Van Gogh Museum and the Anne Frank House, and both times instead I just got fucking stoned the entire time and did nothing else but that. I just went from one coffee shop to the next, and I was like, oh, I gotta go to the Van Gogh Museum. And then I was like, you know what, maybe I'll just walk over to the Anne Frank House by myself, because I was in the Diary of Anne Frank when I was a kid, and I always wanted to see the, and this is the second time I'm coming back. And then the guy, I met a fan, shout out to Matt, who I met, Matt Cox, who's coming to the show tonight, randomly bumped into him on the street. We went to a coffee shop together. He told me it's impossible to get into the Anne Frank House without reservations like months in advance. So,
man, if you had told that girl that people would be trying to rush in and fill that house,
there will be.
Or if you
would have
told the Nazis that all you need to do is make a reservation to find this bitch, we would have ended that pretty quickly. Yeah, so we didn't do any of that.
Or if you told her dad, who really wrote the diary after she died already.
Very true. That is the, is that just a conspiracy? That it is, right?
Yeah, that's a weird. Yeah. That's a weird.
I heard she never even existed.
I walked past a bunch of hookers.
Yeah, I did that too.
They are ugly. There was
what?
Not
there last
was not,
night. They were so good looking.
No, I didn't see them. I didn't see them at night. I saw.
I
them
I might have just
the
been that stoned.
No, no, no. I, well,
yeah, but it might be like McDonald's. Like you saw the day shift.
I probably saw the day shift. And also, I think, and once again, we said this because we're using natural light right now. I think the natural light hits their face in a different way. And they're like, like vampires.
Yeah, like they live.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's what's going on. You just saw them under their fucking pink light. Everyone's drunk. Everyone's fucked up. I'm seeing these fucking hookers in their natural habitat. I mean, a lot of them were I think I also went down a bad alley. I think I went down like a dark, dark place. One of them looked just like me. We did this to each other in the window. It was fucking crazy. And the uglier they are, the more aggressive they are. They start banging on the window like like fucking zoo animals. Legitimately like zoo animals.
Maybe they're just trying to get out.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Could have helped them out.
Pick me.
I should have freed that girl.
You probably have to be more aggressive when you're gross. Yeah.
Of course. But who would do that? Who would? You know what it is? You just get a really, you get a fucking pussy. Who's like, oh, I want to fucking go get a hooker. And then if she can just get him over to her, and maybe he's a virgin, or maybe he's like extremely, like, he's never fucked a hot chick. He's like, so this old fucking bitch, she just kind of gets him there and he goes, oh, fuck. He doesn't know how to say no. You don't want to hurt her feelings. There's also these like beta males that don't want to hurt somebody's feelings.
Right.
They have to make money, right? Because why would you choose a fucking abomination? Why would anyone choose it?
When people force you to be there.
Yeah.
When you get hijacked. And then you get stuffed into a window. I don't know that these people are sex trafficked.
There's probably some sexually trafficked ones,
right.
But that's okay. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying, why would any man
choose
I'm not saying why would they choose like a big girl over like a small girl, right? Because maybe some guys are into big girls. It's not that.
You're saying, how are the gross ones ever making money?
I'm talking about they make me physically ill.
Right.
But to look at their face.
Because even if they're
makes me nauseous. They have my, like,
right.
It's fucking.
Well, I think it's the same, like, the grossest strippers are usually the most aggressive ones. And then there's dudes like me who are afraid to hurt their feelings.
Yeah, so you'll get a lap dance from
classic,
an ugly
don't
stripper.
Don't feed a dog at the beach story.
Yeah, that is. I got to fucking bring that back to the stage. God damn it, dude. Fuck, I forgot about that. It's a great fucking joke.
Lewis yelled at me once for tipping a horrible black stripper.
He tipped her. And I was like, that's like giving food to a stray dog on the beach.
Yeah, and then she just kept coming back.
Yeah, that's a... No, last night they were gorgeous, and I was happy that I roamed through there with fans, because otherwise...
You would have gotten a hooker.
If I'd been any more stoned... Firstly, I thought, like, oh, this isn't going to be a big deal, and then I saw the first 10, and I was like,
oh, wow.
Oh, this is a problem.
I know, I bet it... Because usually most of the windows were closed.
Okay.
So my assumption is just during the daytime... This is 10 o'clock this morning.
Right.
Like,
this was like, I haven't been to a New York City strip club in over a decade because they're very expensive. But you know, when you walk in, you're like, holy shit, these women are good looking.
Yeah.
That's what it was like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Good for you, Robbie. Good for you for hanging out with fans.
There you go.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
So, what has changed in the past 20 years? What has surprised you most about Amsterdam?
I mean, it's beautiful off the jump. I do like wandering around, seeing a new city. So it's fun to walk around. I would have thought, because I don't smoke weed that often, so I would have thought that the bud here might put me over a little more, but it seemed mellow.
Yeah. Apparently the best weed is from the US of A, baby boys.
I think, and this has been the whole trip, it's not that they don't drink as much as we do, it's they don't drink the way we do.
Yeah.
So like last night I tried to order a vodka cranberry, and the lady looked at me like I ordered champagne with a plum in it served in a man's
hat.
She's like, cranberry. And I'm like, yeah. Vodka. And I'm like, she was like, we do not have these. Like,
she thought you wanted actual cranberries.
And then I was like, can I get a vodka tonic with like a splash of orange? and she just handed me an orange peel. And I was like, no, the juice. And she was like, really?
Bro. Bro.
Yeah, she had, I don't think, and then the same way you guys order like a double whiskey.
Yeah.
They're like, that's not that's what aggressive. You drink.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and when we were over in the UK, we were sort of just like double whiskey straight. Right. And every bartender and every person was like, damn, okay, dude. And I was like, don't you guys fucking like outdrink everybody? I thought the English, I thought the English and Irish like would just pound whiskey like it was nothing. And is that not the case?
I think it's that they drink beer all day. And then they start at like 2.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I've been drinking a lot on this. I shouldn't be drinking. I have a fight coming up in 10 days. But it's really hard to not drink on a European vacation tour.
It's pretty fun,
with
dude.
The boys. I mean, come on now.
Especially, this has been a rock and roll pace.
Yeah.
We're waking up at 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning to get on the next flight. You get into a town, 2 hours till the show. You got to rally for the show and then hanging with the fans afterwards. So yeah,
it's a lot. It's a lot. But it's been a ton of fun so far. What has been your favorite city so far on the tour?
I got to go with whatever we did in Scott. Was that Belfast was Ireland, and the next night was
Glasgow.
Yeah, the Glasgow people felt like when you go to Pittsburgh or just like real towns in America,
yeah,
and you get construction workers and that kind of shit. That felt
Belfast
like
Belfast and Glasgow have a similar vibe.
That felt like the UK version of that, and that those guys were partying in a different pace, especially after the show.
Yeah, both those cities. Yeah. I feel like one out of every three fans, I just couldn't understand.
Right.
I didn't figure you're fucking funny. You're fucking fat, fucking funny. I was just like, huh? Thank you. I appreciate being here. You're fucking fat.
You just recognize fat and funny. Oh, that big fat one. Fun at all. dude, it really is like hanging out with Brad Pitt and fucking Snatch.
Yeah.
It's a fucking. They have a ton of fun. They're fucking super appreciative of us being here, which is awesome. I love the fucking European fans. I mean, out of all the cities we've gone to, I think the Netherlands is just such a beautiful, or the Amsterdam, rather, such a beautiful city. And it just feels like a fucking party town. I haven't gone crazy here, you know what I'm saying? We've been drinking and smoking like normal, but it just like it brings me back to when I was 22 years old when I came here, and this was my first ever international trip. Was to Amsterdam. I got my passport to come to Amsterdam, and it was me, Gene Kelly, for reference for the Legion of Skanks fans. That's Gene who drove me to the airport to pick up Sport in the poem, and my friend Dan Doherty, for reference. Dan Doherty is my fictional friend that I made up because I stole that story from the 30 Hits of Acid guy. But that's the guy that did 30 Hits of Acid with, was from that story that I completely made up. So we came to Amsterdam when we were just fucking kids. We didn't even stay. We stayed in Utrecht, which is like another city like outside of Amsterdam. And we just fucking, dude, it was like when we coming from New York, where we would smoke weed in stairwells and we would just were on like a rooftop or like, and it was truly a crime. Like I had been arrested 10 times, a dozen times maybe, for smoking weed in New York. Throughout my, up until literally maybe 5 years ago, more than that, probably actually closer to like 8 years ago, but it was definitely after James was born. I got put in cuffs one time.
We had that shadow boxing incident.
What do you mean?
When you got arrested and then they put you in a thing and you were shadow boxing and they came back and thought you must have been on other drugs.
Yeah, no. Well, what happened was Shannon gave me ecstasy at her birthday party. I didn't even want to take the ecstasy. It was Molly, right? I don't like powdered Molly. It's gross. She had it at her party and people were having it, and I just put it in my bag. It was like a computer satchel. It was like a little pouch, a zipper pouch in my computer satchel. And I rolled the blunt on my front steps in Harlem, and I just was walking to the subway to go down to somewhere to do something. And I started smoking a blunt. These two cops come over and they go, yeah, well, stop right there. And the cops went through my bag. They found the Molly. And I was like, fuck, dude, I'm fucked. I'm like, really? I wasn't even taking it. I'm an idiot. I just didn't take it out of my bag. And the cop was fucking cool, dude. The cop was like, look, dude, he was like, I'm going to turn my face. He was like, because this is a serious crime. He was like, you're a nice guy. He was like, you're not a thug. Like, you're going, like, it's your computer bag. You're on your way to work. I was like, dude, I got a kid. I was like, they just felt bad. They could tell I wasn't like.
So I got a kid, and he loves Molly.
I'm supposed to get this to him right now.
So the cop, he turned a blind eye. He was like, I'm going to turn a blind eye, throw that in the sewer. He's like, I'm still going to make sure you don't have any warrants. I'm still going to put you in cuffs and bring you to the police precinct. If you don't have warrants, you're going to be out in a couple hours. That'll be that.
He was like, but I'm not going to charge you with that because that'll be a real fucking crime on your thing. And that was the coolest. Honestly, the only time I've ever dealt with a cop that was truly fucking cool. He wasn't all the way cool. You know what I'm saying? He still had to do something.
He didn't do it with you.
No. But he fucking let me throw it in the sewer. But then what happened was I was just fucking trying to kill time. I was in a cell. And I was just fucking, I'm such a hand job. I was just shadow boxing and also doing push-ups and sit-ups, just trying to like kill time. And I was like, well, and I was really into fitness at the time. And I was just trying to get back in shape. I was like, well, let me just fucking do a workout in here while I wait. So then they came back in like a half an hour later and I'm just pouring sweat sitting in a cell. And the guy looks at me like this. And then I remember he walked out and I was like, oh shit, dude, he doesn't know that I'm working. He just thinks that the Molly kicked in and then I lied to him the whole time. But yeah, I mean, dude, going from New York, where you're hiding in a stairwell and you feel like it's a crime, you really feel like it's a crime. Then coming to Amsterdam for the first time as a kid, it was fucking just magical. It was truly like just a holy shit. So you guys don't have that type of, number one, you're not potheads like I was, but you guys don't have that like holy shit type of experience because weed's now legal everywhere. It's just not the same type of, you know.
I smoked weed in the city in high school, and I remember when it was very illegal. Yeah. Like, you could be going to jail for a joint type thing. And I was reckless with it. You're right that it's different because now you can just walk around New York City, smoke a joint.
Yeah, it's nothing. It's just, it doesn't feel the same sort of, like, novelty of coming to a place like this. It's still fucking awesome. You know what I'm saying? I don't know that I would make an exclusive trip to Amsterdam. But I think Amsterdam is the type of place where if you're doing multiple cities, you spend 2 or 3 days here, you go 2 or 3 days somewhere else. Because after a couple of days, like, what else? I am just walking around smoking weed.
Right.
And I don't really give a shit about Anne Frank or the museum. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not, like, losing sleep that I'm not going to the fucking Van Gogh Museum.
Right.
You know? But
other than New Orleans, which is not as exciting or beautiful as Amsterdam is, but I would say I've traveled a lot of cities. Those are the two most interesting and have the most exciting party vibes going.
Yeah. Yeah. This is fucking, it's a good time. We're going to have fun tonight at the show. Shows have all been good. All right, gents, let's take a moment and thank Blue Magic for supporting today's show. If you guys are going bald like me, maybe you don't like it. I like my bald head. I look fucking good, baby boy. But I'll tell you right now, when I was 19 years old, this would have been life-changing for me because I lost a lot of confidence for a long time. I used to walk around wearing a hat in my younger years. My friend Robbie Bernstein was wearing hats for years because he just didn't shave his head like a lunatic, and he had this weird fucking ring around his head like an old man. Nobody likes that. Women don't want that, all right? So unless you look like The Rock or Vin Diesel like me, guess what? Get your fucking hair back. Get your confidence back. And Blue Magic is the place that can help you do it. It is the best hair restoration service on the fucking planet. Blue Magic has a team of world-class professionals who have turned hundreds of lives around with their hair restoration solutions. It really is a great service. See what they can do for you. Stop hiding behind a cap. Stop being embarrassed. Stop being a fucking weirdo. Just all you do right now is go to BlueMagicClinic.com. Use the promo code RAP when you sign up at registration. You're going to save 10% off your service. You're going to love having hair again. Your chicks are going to love you. Your dude's going to love you. Who knows who's going to love you? You're going to love yourself, and that's the most important part. Just go to BlueMagicClinic.com for 10% off with that promo code RAP. All right, where were we? Zach, what has been your favorite city on this tour?
I'm going to go with Glasgow on this one, too.
You like Glasgow?
I liked, I actually really, my favorite part of this whole trip was the ride to the airport the next morning. Just all those, like, beautiful hills covered in fog and, like, sheep and shit.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought it was beautiful.
Yeah, it was
just really nice.
Yeah, it looked like we were going to Shutter Island.
Yeah, it was, like, countryside. I don't know. I thought it was, like, really serene and...
Yeah, Zach likes a spooky...
I was asleep for that entire ride.
Yeah.
I didn't see any of that beautiful sheepness.
Yeah, no, that was, like, really nice. And then, everything's been great, yeah.
I ate the worst food I've ever had in my entire life in London.
Terrible.
The worst breakfast I've ever had in my entire life. And it's fucking...
And blue bacon.
It was blue bacon. There was beans. They gave me runny eggs that, like, I broke into the beans and then just... You know when you hit it when you first... Because you don't know the egg's runny until you fucking mash your fork into it, right? You're like, oh, it's a fucking nice egg. Delicious. You put your fork into it and then you watch, like, mucus just leak out all over the plate. Like, it spreads into everything.
You've got yolky beans now.
Oh! It's not even yolky, dude. It's the runny. It's so undercooked that the fucking white part is still fucking runny. Oh.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
I did the full English breakfast.
You did?
Yeah, my eggs tasted like the ones that are on an Egg McMuffin.
Really?
Yeah, they were good.
But that sausage looked good.
Yeah, everything. I mean, it was pretty. I really liked black pudding.
What is black pudding?
Blood sausage or whatever?
What is it?
Blood. It's like blood.
Is it red?
No, it's black. But it's like cooked blood. I really liked it.
Man. It's probably fucking great. I mean, people like it, but no, dude. And then they put, I asked for corned beef because I love corned beef.
Corned beef's great.
Can never go wrong with corned beef.
You'd think the English could do corned beef right.
You'd think. No, dude. It was like spam sliced.
Ugh.
And it was two just hunks of it, and it was cold. Just cold on my fucking plate.
Yeah, I had the flat bacon, and then what I was surprised about the beans was it was just bean, like, you'd think they would
add a can
add
of cold fucking beans.
Something to the bean, like an onion, some spices, something. It was just like, nope, this is a can of beans.
Robbie, were you explaining to us why they have no flavor in their food?
No, that was a Zach Amico theory.
What?
About the wealth, that because there were all the spices coming in,
I thought I said that.
Maybe it was
Laura.
Maybe it was
Laura in the corner. No, there's no way Laura had an interesting
thought. No, maybe it was David. I think it was English.
It was definitely Laura.
Oh, really? I thought it was that English royalty. That was their thing, that their food was good enough. It didn't need all the spices.
Yeah, they had good,
spices for poor meats, people.
They had good quality ingredients, so they didn't need spices. The poor people used spices because they had shitty quality ingredients, so they had to make their food taste better.
It's the same reason... Like black
and
Spanish.
I came up with this actually. This
it's
is my
the same
thing.
Reason black and Spanish people, like, white people don't season their food.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, because we're not eating fucking pig knuckles. Prime rib, you don't have to have fucking 85 spices on it that your fucking Jamaican grandmother fucking ground with a fucking chicken bone with her one eye open.
Write that down. That's a good bit, dude. That's a good bit.
I was shocked by how bad the beer is in both London, Ireland, and
the thing is, they just understand. Here's the thing about America. Yeah. Listen in, sir. Here's the thing about America. We understand flavor. We like our shit, and we want to. Not only do we like our shit, we want our shit to be better constantly. It's never fucking good enough, dude. These cocksuckers thought it was good enough 2,000 years ago, and they've never fucking done anything to evolve. Their flavors, their foods, their anything, dude. They're like, oh, no, we figured it out. No, you haven't. It stinks. We also stunk when we started America, but we fucking figured it out, and we're constantly trying to be better. This is a fucking capitalist mentality. This is why America will always continue to be the best, because we're never satisfied. We're always striving for more, and that's an analogy for life. If you're not striving for more and you are settling, you're just a fucking, just a shitty piece of fucking blood sausage on a plate with some fucking beans. That's what you are, dude. That's not what I am. I'm a goddamn
chorizo.
No. I was gonna say I'm more of like a California pizza kitchen.
Okay.
All right. Like which is very flavorful.
Okay.
I didn't have one good beer on tap, and I was excited in every single place to try their beers.
I had a Heineken, and because me and Dave Smith became friends, when we became friends at like 19, 20 years old. We would just smoke blunts and drink Heinekens. Like, everything was about selling a few books of comedy club tickets.
Right.
Getting $50 to $100 for the day, buying a few Heinekens, getting a blunt, you know, getting $20, $40 worth of weed, and having some money for some food at the end of the night.
Right.
That was sort of how we lived life. That was all that we really fucking cared about. And Heineken was our fucking beer. So it was cool to sit down in a pub and have a Heineken on tap with the boys. And you know, me and Dave, I was a Camel cigarettes, Heinekens, and blunts. It was like our personalities.
Right.
For a long time.
Me and Zach were having fun, though, because I'd been loading up on fridge beer. So we've been sampling ciders late at night, local, I don't know. What do we have that was good?
The ciders were good. The fruity thing was super good. I can't remember what that was. That was really good. Everything was fine.
Yeah.
I'm listening, guys. Shannon sent me notes.
No problem.
So I wanted to see her notes at one point. But I think it's cute that she actually still sent me notes. She's adorable. She's the best. None of the beers are that fucking great. Like, we figured it out, too. We have like fucking microbreweries and fucking all this like these fancy in America, dude. You know how many fucking great beers we have? I'm not even being a fucking dick here. This is what they don't like. The fucking Gestapo back there, he's going to fucking be all like, well, this is the American way. Right. They always talk shit. Yeah, we actually genuinely do it better. So check this out, dude. I go in, and when I first came to Amsterdam when I was 22 years old, there was a little sign in multiple coffee shops. There was a little sign that said this, Americans beware. Our weed is so strong that you're not going to be able to handle it. And I know that it was marketing, because of course I was like, yeah, we'll see. I bought like everything, right? But now...
I'll show you to tell me what not to buy.
Sorry, on the premium list, it's all the American weed.
Right.
And there's a little American flag. And it's twice as expensive as this shit because they have to import it. But I was talking to the Dutch people and that worked there. He was like, oh, I only smoke American. He was like, that's the fucking, that's the highest quality of weed in the world is the American shit. So we've actually got better weed than them now, which is fucking crazy.
The European complacency.
It's crazy. Seb, we just. What do you want me to say?
Other drugs are pretty good here, though.
I didn't do any other drugs. I was going
to
do...
There's no fentanyl. You don't have to be worried about fentanyl out here.
So a guy gave me like 8 pressed Molly pills last night, and I really considered taking them. Coke's not my problem. Somebody offered me Coke every night that I've been here. I little temptation the first night. I was like, oh, fuck, dude, a little bit of fucking... Because this is the environment. This is the environment where I go, like, it would be really fun... I'm not like doing it at home. I'm not doing it secretly. I'm not doing it in a creepy way or a way. I feel like bad about doing it every time I did it. But I also kind of have this like standard where I say if I do coke, if I cross that line, I feel like it's like smoking a cigarette for me. I think I could go back to doing coke regularly, and it's down a path. I don't think coke's something that I should ever even fuck with, even on the slightest bit. Right, Molly. I never really had a problem with Molly. I just don't want to feel like shit the next day. So we had it last night, and I was really thinking about it, and there was all these fans, and I gave one of them to one of the fans, so he did it, so he tested it first, and he was fine. He seemed like
that's
the
way to
time.
Test things.
Of course.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, you know what, dude? I don't want to feel like shit today. And that's really what it comes down to is, like, I know I would have felt pretty good for a couple hours, but I would have been up all night. I wouldn't have slept today. I wouldn't have worked out today.
And then you wake up and you feel greasy.
Feel shitty.
Have a headache.
Probably wouldn't do the podcast. And then I would have felt guilty about all. So it's a whole thing where.
Yeah, then you spiral.
It's serotonin, you know, depletion. And now I'm feeling guilty that I did drugs. I'm feeling guilty that I didn't call my son. I didn't fucking, because I was fucked up and too hungover. I didn't do the podcast. I didn't work out. And then I'm sitting here like feeling as bad as I've ever felt. And it's way worse than the high of the good of the high. All of that negative, the physical, emotional, psychological, it puts me in a place where I know it's way worse. And the temptation of that high, I look to that knowing for a fact that I'm not going to want to be there. So I think that's a good, like a healthy fucking thing in my life where I'm finally like, you know, I have like an addictive
person. You're considering consequences.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a really, it's a good thing because I've never really been in that place in my life. This was also a tougher challenge because this is the place.
Right.
To do, you know, we got that, and then we got a bunch of mushrooms as well, which they don't do regular mushrooms here anymore. They only have the truffles, which I thought this was very interesting. Actually, let's do plugs real quick, and then we'll get it. I think this is super interesting what they do with the mushrooms here now and how they make it work. But what are you plugging on, Robbie?
I don't know when this comes out, but this weekend.
This will be out today on Gas Digital and Saturday, I think.
Oh, beautiful. So it's the last run of Porch Tours. I'm doing Backyards in Las Vegas, Tucson, Arizona, and Phoenix, Arizona. And then next weekend, I'm with Dave Smith in San Diego all weekend.
Sick.
Next weekend, I am in Saratoga Springs, New York, doing a full weekend headlining.
Fuck cool. Yeah. This weekend coming up, if you're listening live, I will be in Chicago at the Rosemont, Zany's Rosemont.
Great room.
Yeah, come out to those shows. Going to be a fucking blast. I'm very, very excited about that. I'm doing mostly new material, guys. So if
new
you guys,
hours fucking clicking,
yeah,
dude.
Well, it's not a full hour. Let's get real. But I got a bunch of new material right now. I'm not really doing any of the old stuff at all. Couple little fucking. You'll see what I do. But it's mostly 99% new material. So come out to those. Go to lewisofskanks.com. Grab those tickets. I'm fighting November 4th. We're only 10 days away right now. I'm fighting Tim Butterly at Carnival of Combat. Alex Stein, Harrington in the co-main event. It's gonna be a bunch of other great fights. Fans are fighting. Pinata match. Blindfolded fight. It's gonna be a blast to be there. If you could be in St. Pete, Florida, come the fuck out. Go to carnivalofcombat.com. Use the promo code GOMEZ20 to get 20% off tickets. There's a bunch of tickets left. You can get tickets right now. Go grab them. If you guys can't be there live, make sure you guys watch it live on pay-per-view through Mint Comedy. Mint Comedy is streaming this. If you go to carnivalofcombat.com right now, you can get the pre-order as well, and it's video on demand for 2 days after you guys order it as well. It's going to be a blast. I'm very excited. I love Tim, but I am going to beat the shit out of him on November 4th. I'm very, very excited to be able to show everyone how much I've trained and how hard I've worked for this. And yeah, may the best man win on November 4th. CarnivalCombat.com. Shout out to Jason Ellis for being a part of this as well. And my new tour is coming up. Go to lewisofskanks.com. Some of the tickets are already going up, but the Meaty Ogre tour is coming to a city near you. Let's see. I know we just threw up the Tampa tickets as well. Yeah, just go to lewisofskanks.com. Starting in January, I'm taking off for the rest of the year, but starting in January, I'm going to be going pretty much fucking everywhere. Right now, there are already tickets up for Emias, Pennsylvania, Tampa, Des Moines, Iowa, St. Louis, San Diego, and there's many, many more cities coming up. So just go to my website, subscribe to the new Gas Digital, gasdigital.com. Use the promo code RAP. Just RAP. There's no more 30-day trial, but we have a new trial coming up soon. Just go use promo code RAP for 7-day free trial. Get instant access to the on-demand library for all of the shows here on the network. We do a bonus episode of this show every week that's exclusive for Gas Digital subscribers, so make sure you go get that, plus all the other episodes. I mean, we have thousands of episodes that are not available anywhere in the world. They're all uncensored and ad-free. If you guys hate the censorship on YouTube, which we have to do, we'll have our channels banned. Come over to the Gas Digital side, see what it's like for the uncensored portions of these shows. Watch all the videos, watch all the shit that we're watching. It's a really cool experience to watch it through Gas Digital. And we have new apps for both Android and iPhone. Make sure you guys subscribe. And anything else?
I think it's good.
That's all I got to plug, right?
What's the first thing you're going to do once you're Tim's daddy? Send him to his room?
No, dude. First of all, I
beat your grandchildren.
I know I'm gonna feel bad because I do practice peaceful parenting. I'm gonna be looking at the bloody mess that I left him in. I'm gonna have to probably do some soul searching,
right?
Figure out how I could have gotten there with my kid.
Do some therapy.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, a little family therapy. Try to pick up the pieces. You know, it's not easy to do what I'm gonna have to do. What if he just knocks me out first punch?
There's no way.
It'd be worth it. Honestly, I'd rather get knocked out first punch than lose a 3-round war.
Because you walk away more beat up, and you got
yeah. And I get to be like, all right, well, fuck it, you know. That was easy,
right?
You know, walk away from it just feeling a lot better.
Who does 3 rounds favor?
Whoever's the better cardio. I would have no way to know if he has better cardio than me.
Okay, no.
A lot of people talk shit, like a lot of, like, you know, and I at a high level you can fucking say shit like this, but I can't actually talk shit. I don't know. How am I gonna know Tim's cardio? I know. Okay. I have really good cardio.
Right.
I'm not worried about a 3-round fight. But the reality is, once you're in it, there's other issues. There's adrenaline. Sometimes you have an adrenaline dump. You can't control
how do
that.
You? Because I used to have a problem with that when I played. I mean, I played stupid Jew hockey, but it was competitive.
Stupid Jew hockey.
It was stupid Jew hockey. Yeah, we didn't have skates. We just ran around on the floor.
It was just a 50-cent piece.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I used to adrenaline dump bad. I had to kind of learn to control for that. I'm curious what, because I haven't done anything competitive in a while.
I'm just going to be in the best shape possible, dude.
Right.
You know, I definitely slowed down a little bit on this tour. I'm not boxing as much as I should be. It's hard to find good boxing and good sparring.
Right.
I only sparred one day while I've been on the tour. After this, I'm going to go and box a little bit. There's a boxing gym near here. I'm going to go for a run, and then I'm going to do that. But yeah, the next 10 days, I have to taper off as well. Like, I have to make sure my body can recover. So, but I'm still going to be moving, keeping the cardio up, just, you know, staying in shape. I'm going to be sparring this weekend in Chicago. Then I'm going to come back on Sunday. I'm going to do my last day of sparring. That's a week out. And then I'll have, you know, a few days where I'm just moving with my coach and just, you know, just continuously making sure that I'm, you know, feeling good throughout the week, not feeling lazy, not feeling sluggish. And that's that. We'll see what happens. I think I'm going to fucking win. I know Laura wants fucking Butterly to win, you fucking bitch. I know you do. It's all good. All right, guys, I love this. I'm so mad that I'm not eating this right now because I am on a specific diet right now and I've been eating terribly in fucking Amsterdam the whole time. I have to be truthful about this. And this would have changed the game for me. Kudo, one of our brand new sponsors, is incredible. It's the official protein popcorn of the UFC, which is pretty amazing. Athletes love this shit. If athletes love it, you know it's good, okay? It is popcorn that has 10 grams of whey protein isolate in every single bag. This is huge. This is keto-friendly. It is preservative-free. It's gluten-free. It's 100% whole grain, and it only has 70 calories per cup. It is made right here in the US of A. I mean, Jesus Christ, guys. What else do you need in a snack? Everyone loves popcorn. This is one of the snacks that I miss because I do keto dieting all the time. I do low-carb dieting all the time. This is absolutely incredible. One bite of Kudo popcorn, and it's going to become your go-to healthy snack. Unquestionable. Unbelievable. So all you got to do right now, To try out Kudo Snacks, is go to kudosnacks.com and use the promo code RAP at checkout. You're going to save 25% off your order today. I cannot wait to have my kitchen cabinet stocked with Kudo. You can hear it in my voice. My mouth is salivating right now. This isn't a game. I'm not fucking around. I'm a fat guy at heart, and I need healthy snacks with a lot of protein that are low carb, that are not going to make me fucking fat, not going to make me go out of ketosis. That's incredible. I can't wait. They have tons of flavors. I can't wait to try the white cheddar. They have salty sweet kettle corn and garlic parmesan. You don't even need another flavor. They've even figured out the flavors that everybody wants in their fucking popcorn, baby boys. KudoSnacks.com. Use that promo code RAP. All right, let's get back into it. So anyway, yeah, we're here in Amsterdam. We got these mushrooms now. My buddy Joe Santiago runs a mushroom dispensary, and they don't do regular mushrooms anymore. Joe Santiago, side note, if you guys remember Luis J. Gomez Presents Luis J. Gomez, I do a joke about having two friends who are Latino who act white, and I say the names. It's Vic Garcia, the producer for Yo MMA Rap, and the former co-host of Hammer Fisting Podcast, and Joe Santiago. This is the guy. His dad was also stabbed to death. All three of our fathers were stabbed to death. All three of us have been accused of acting like we're white our entire lives. That's the whole bit, right? So this is this guy. I've known him for a long time. We started selling comedy club tickets together when I was 19. He was 21 years old. I've known this guy since I was a fucking teenager. He happens to be in the show, and he brought us a bunch of mushrooms, and we haven't taken them yet, but apparently they're truffles, and they grow them under the dirt.
Describe them as the balls.
The balls of the mushroom.
The balls of the mushroom.
Okay. And yeah, they fucking...
They grow under... They're the underground part.
I have no idea. Apparently, they're legal. I don't know.
Mushrooms became illegal, I think they said, in 2008. Because some Japanese bitch jumped off a fucking bridge.
No, it was like a French or something.
Somebody jumped off a bridge.
And her dad was part of the EU. This bitch was on a bunch of drugs, and then she fucking jumped off a bridge and died. And her dad was like some member of some fucking, you know, I don't know how American politics work, but whatever the fucking, you know, European Union shit, right? And they were like, fuck that. And they started, you know, I guess Amsterdam just rolled over very quickly and was like, no, we'll just make mushrooms illegal. But you can still take these, which apparently they're less potent. But we haven't taken them yet. Laura, have you taken these, you never taken the truffles?
It's a funny thing to just tell people they're less potent, especially when you're smoking the weed out here and you're like, yeah, the weed's nothing. And then it turns out to be like 9 times heavier than mushrooms.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the weed isn't nothing. The weed gets me. So I don't smoke joints too often in the U.S.
Right.
And the weed here is, by the time we get to the end of a joint, we just shared one just right before the show. Like, I'm baked. Like, I'm as high as I get when I take like a good dab. You know, but I mostly smoke dabs, but I think it's almost like anything else. Like I went to an event for, there's like a beer company coming onto the network, and I never drink beer anymore. I definitely never drink stouts. And I drank two of them, or not even like one and a half. And I was fucking like on another planet drunk. And it's just, I think it's what you're not used to, whatever capacity is. Because when I start drinking beer after not drinking beer for a while, two or three beers will get me, whereas I'll drink fucking 5 or 6 whiskeys and I'm just normal.
Right. When I get really high, which I enjoy, it's just not when I'm out. It's the dysfunctional high. It's when you start losing your perception of time, where you're like, how long was I talking for type stuff.
Right.
Or when you just start laughing at things, that's great. Yeah. Just when you get really lost in it, where it's like an overwhelming physical sensation.
There's never going to be, I've lost that. There's never going to be the high, even if I stop smoking weed for a year and start smoking again, right? It's never going to be that first time or that first summer me and my friends got high. Salty Black Flower, when we discovered weed, we were all straight edge, but we all just said...
Nobody ever smoked before them. They discovered.
No, when we discovered weed for our group...
This stuff grows out of the ground?
When we discovered weed for our group, it was... We went from being like straight edge, like we were hard, like none of us. No one in our crew smoked weed. We were in a band that was that. And then one day, me, Dave Green, and James Meekum, 3 members of Salty Black Flower, we said, we're going to get some weed and we're going to just try it. And we never turned back. And it was the highest I had ever been. And that whole summer was, I mean, dude, I remember the first time we played, like we jammed. We never jammed high, dude. I don't know if you, do you play any musical instruments? Some fucking Jew flute or some
Nothing.
Shit, dude? The recorder?
My nose.
You know you play the recorder.
The Jew
recorder? No, I really, no musical skill.
You play the keyboards, right?
Yeah.
And you've been in a band.
I love just getting high and fucking around.
Going from like, and forget just being high, like going from like, we're in a band for a few years and we would jam all the time and we'd fucking play music. And then one summer, this exact same summer, not only did we start getting high, but my buddy Dave Green's mom gave us an apartment. So they had a house, like, and they had a downstairs apartment that was vacant, and they just didn't have a tenant. And for whatever reason, she wasn't really looking for a tenant right then. So she literally just let us have this apartment for the summer. We're seniors in high school.
That's reckless.
Yeah, seniors in high school going into our first year of college. Yeah, because that's the first time I smoked weed was Snowcore 2000.
Right.
That was, I graduated high school in 2000. The first time I ever smoked weed, I saw System of a Down, Incubus, Mr. Bungle in concert.
That's fun.
And it was, I mean, I just got the highest I'd ever been. Went to go see my favorite band, System of a Down. Incubus was one of my favorite bands. Saw this amazing show. Blew my fucking mind. Puya was on the card as well. Puerto Rican metal band. And fucking, yeah, so then we got this apartment. And we would just get fucking big. We had weed parties like every day. We just got super high. His mom was just fucking head in the clouds. She had no idea what was going on with us. And we got fucking so baked. And the first time we played music, dude, I remember it reminds me of the scene in Family Guy. Do you remember where they try to make a song in Family Guy? And like it sounds like beautiful to them. And they're like, and then they play it back. And it's just him and Lois going, blah, blah, blah. That's exactly what this was, dude. Because it felt like I remember it felt like we were a locomotive of music. And everyone was so, dude, we were looking at, dude, I remember looking at John Hickey, looking at Dave Gant, looking at Meekum, and we were just fucking flowing, and everyone had this smile, like, holy shit, dude, we've figured out music. Like, this is it. We figured out, we're recording it, dude. We were like, dude, this is it. Weed is the answer. We've unlocked this new level to what music is supposed to be. And it was just such an amazing feeling, and I was like, the vibrations of, like, live music for the first time, like, you gotta understand, like, we were such young kids, we had never felt this way before, and it was a whole new experience, like, music on weed that you were playing, you were a part of it, it was incredible. And we played it back, and it was just dog shit. It was unlistenable. Nobody was playing, two of them were out of tune, it was psychotic, dude. But it was such an experience, it was so fun, dude. Weed was such a, there was nothing, whatever it was, dude, I fell in love with it, because it was just, there was no downside. There was just
no hangover.
There was no hangover. It just felt fucking right, dude. And it was the perfect escape that I needed. And whatever, everything just lined up in a way where I was like, no, this became a part of my lifestyle. It wasn't like,
I've seen you higher than you. I've seen like really high you.
Yeah. But like, not where I'm like giggling like an idiot.
I've seen Star Mushrooms. Death. Star Death.
That wasn't giggling. That was like gonna pass out like it was on heroin.
Yeah, I lost Lewis at the Bel Air Diner?
No, the right by the Comedy Store.
Yeah, the diner over there, and I lost Lewis. He's just gone. Well, first of all, it was me, him, and Feeney. Feeney leaves, and 20 minutes later, Lewis looks up and sort of goes, "Where's Feeney?" he had been gone so long. And then I just lose Lewis. We're supposed to leave, and he's gone. I look all over for him, and then he was just, his nose was on the glass of the dessert counter, and he was just, he wasn't eating dessert. He was just in his head dancing with them. And then he wound up buying a bunch of donuts.
Yeah.
And then he would go, "Zach, donut?" And I would go, "No, thank you." And then it would be gone.
Yeah. Oh, I love donuts. Damn.
It was a good night. That was the night, because it was Star Death night. No. But I had a piece of that Star Death. Yeah. It was the night I locked myself in my friend's garage and had to pee out the bars because I couldn't figure out how to move the door. Because I did my first dab and I had a piece of Star of Death at Ron Funch's show. And I got so high I locked myself in a garage, which was only the first of two times I've done that while on tour with Lewis.
Yeah, the weed, you know, and now, like, Dan Soder has that great joke where he talks about, it's sad now, but it really has become
every,
like,
day.
Yeah, and I smoke weed every day. So, and I'm not like, I don't get excited about it the same way I do. But I will say, coming to Amsterdam, it does unlock a little bit of that in you. You got, because it is a cooler way to do it, right? So in the States, like, we have dispensaries, but in Amsterdam they have coffee shops, which essentially they sell coffee and they sell,
and
like,
it's a little
pastries.
More social.
Yeah, and you sit down at like a little bar type setup, and you roll a joint, and it's. I like that experience. So that's, it is a fun way to do it. It also, it's a really big throwback to when I was a kid and I came here. It was such a big deal to come here as a young pothead. you know, just fucking going to the can. I mean, I pass all these places, the Cannabis Museum. I went for just a stroll. Like, I just wanted to just walk around. And I all of these spots that I remember from when I came, Greenhouse Effect, The Greenhouse, like all these like little cannabis spots. It was nice to just kind of like reminisce and come back there mentally and fucking, it was cool, you know. But yeah, it's fucking, you know, weed is kind of dorky now, to be honest with you. And I probably should stop smoking. This point in my life,
it's pretty fun. Why stop now?
Oh, I don't want to fucking die of cancer, Zach. I'm trying to fucking live a long time.
Who gets cancer from weed?
I don't. You know, we don't know. The jury's out on that. Like, nobody really is getting cancer from weed.
It kind of doesn't make sense to me why nicotine would be so cancer. It just seems anything that you're exposing your body to over long periods of time,
yeah, especially like going,
there'd be some wear and tear
going into your lungs that's yeah. not supposed to be there, like a compound. Like, I think the dabs aren't going to be good because whatever right. the processing for the dabs are, I think, honestly, I really think, because I think for a long time, regular weed, people have been smoking it for a while, and maybe the CBD properties or the medicinal properties of both THC and CBD, maybe that actually fights off whatever would right. be causing cancer, you know? So I don't actually know, but I talked about this on Rogan specifically, and right. they started like looking shit up in real time, but it's kind of interesting.
Oh, Jamie pulled that up?
You did pull that up, but I always felt very like, fuck, dude, I'm going to get cancer one day, throat cancer, mouth cancer, but I don't think that there's cases of people being reporting cancer.
I feel like the vape pens for sure.
Yeah, dude.
Particularly those, the nicotine ones.
Those things, that's where I'm a little bit worried about. I should probably stop smoking dabs, or at the very least know exactly where I'm getting them from, because
right.
the process, the more natural and the better it is, I'm sure. Look, if weed really is just that super drug where you can just smoke it and there's really no downside, then fucking great. That's awesome. You know, I'm glad that it's fucking legal everywhere now. You know, that'll be cool once New York opens up like coffee shop type places. If we open a comedy club, that what I think we should just like, it should be unspoken where you could just smoke weed. We smoke weed at the stand all the time anyway. Nobody gives a fuck. I think, I don't think you would get, the club wouldn't get shut down. If we opened a comedy club and just, like, I would just light a joint, give it up to the crowd, right? What would they do? They're not shutting down any of the fucking dispensaries in New York City. There's hundreds of illegal dispensaries.
It's wild how that
played out. It's the wild fucking West right now when it comes to weed. I see people smoking outside of restaurants. Like when they're at the stand, when we do Skanks, we smoke. When Dave Chappelle goes downstairs and does sets at any comedy club, he smokes weed.
Right.
The Comedy Store, when we were doing we smoke. Nobody gives a shit. Nobody fucking cares. So why wouldn't I open a comedy club and make it the first weed-friendly comedy club where it's like legit, like, you know, at the tables, people are just fucking smoking joints. And if you go there, that's what it is. It'd be fucking dope.
I think they would probably want to make an example of you.
I think
I spent 60 years in jail.
They seem to always have weird laws, like the same way if you go to a full nude strip club, then they don't serve
alcohol.
Yeah,
like cabaret laws or whatever.
Yeah, I think because I remember the guy from Ween tried opening up in Colorado, like a weed lounge music venue. And then all of a sudden, the business model gets tricky because you're not allowed to actually sell weed there. And then sometimes you can't sell booze there either. So then how do you maintain a venue where you can't even, you don't get the liquor sales?
I would simply just smoke weed until we couldn't smoke weed.
And
it's not a weed-themed...
Right.
There's so many laws on the books that we don't even, like, understand. Like,
yeah.
Basically, one of the ways Giuliani, quote-unquote, cleaned up New York is by getting all the gay bars out of, like...
That makes
Times
sense.
Area.
Because then you get rid of the bad energy of God hating an area.
That is true.
But the way they did it was cabaret laws. So technically, you need a license for dancing. So if it was a bar and there was two dudes dancing together, the cops would come in and take their liquor license.
Yeah.
Because, oh, this
is a dance club. A lick him license.
This isn't a dance
Rattlesnake.
Club.
Rattlesnake.
So like, they would use shitty laws like that to like shut places down. So I'm sure there's something... on the books that they could twist to shut something like
I'm
that
sure,
down.
But it would still be fucking dope. It would still be dope.
I like this vision.
I don't think it's a bad vision, my friend. I don't think it's a bad vision at all. So this is it. This is our last day.
What was your favorite show of the tour?
Favorite show of the tour? Do I want to say Belfast?
Yeah, I think Belfast was my strongest set.
Belfast was a lot of fun.
I liked First Night London in that little room.
I liked that little room, too. Yeah. I liked it way better than the big room.
Yeah, yeah. It was, yeah, no, I mean, all the shows have been really fun. It's also a little more nerve-wracking for me because I don't know where I'm going with my shit because it's all new. And I'm doing some crowd work, obviously, and I know I'm good at crowd work. But there's something, when you're doing crowd work, like, if it's not going well, let's say you can't find something, you just can go into a bit. That's like the way it works. You should just fucking, you know, you jump into a bit.
Or you can address and be like, this is going nowhere. You're very boring.
Yeah, but that sucks, right? You don't want to do that. So like when you don't have strong bits that where you know they're going to kill, they're tried and true, it's, you feel very like, it feels like I'm going up there without weapons. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like I just have to fucking, you know, just punch and fucking put my head down and just keep going. But the shows have all been really good so far. Surprisingly, like I've felt, because there's also a language barrier. There's not a language barrier, obviously, with England and Ireland and Scotland, but there is like a,
they speak English, different English.
But it's a different English. It's a different pacing. It's a different, and I think we're also lucky that these are fans of our podcasts. 99% of the people that are coming to these shows listen to us on podcasts or know us from whatever, right? So they know the speech patterns already. I think they have an easier time understanding us than we have understanding them.
Yeah, I was worried some of my references wouldn't hit.
Yeah.
And I've even had fans be like, hey, nobody got that, but I liked it.
Oh, yeah, nobody got that. Yeah, dude. But I'm gonna do this one next year for sure. Once I have the new hour completely figured out, I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna do another run in Europe, without a doubt. Amsterdam was so much fun.
And I just want to say, there's no group of people I'd rather do this with until I meet a European comic with a car.
Yeah,
and then you guys can all go screw.
Yeah, dude. Well, next year I think I'll probably add Manchester and Dublin onto the run, and maybe go back to a couple of the other places as well. And I think I should, people keep on saying like Sweden's dope and like Germany's dope and France, and there's like little pockets of like expats and people that live in these areas. So if you guys are in any parts of the world that you want to see us or any of the comics, you know, come to, please let me know, because I am running a brand new tour, new material, all that stuff. And I appreciate you guys supporting all the shit that we do. All right, let's wrap this one up, man. We're about an hour here. We're good, baby boys. You guys are the shit. Thanks for watching. We'll check you next time on the Real Ass Podcast. Peace.
That's all, folks.